show today. We have Arcos Labs' very own Kevin Gottschalk giving us the Q4 fraud and abuse report and all the creative ways fraudsters are trying to attack your financial institution. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we're talking a little fraud, a little security, all this type of stuff. And we're here with Kevin Gottschalk from Arcos Labs. Kevin, how are you, sir?
Great. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for inviting me on.
Oh my gosh, I'm happy to have you on. And we were talking before the show, you're from Australia. And I initially thought the call, you were actually going to be in Australia. I'm like, gosh, what time is it there? But you're actually up in San Francisco, so no big.
So I guess one good point, though, we're talking about fraud and abuse.
Yes.
And I'm by birth a convict. So, you know, that makes me in a logical position
to
obviously be an expert on the topic, right?
That's right. You're right there in the mix. Congratulations on that one. All right. So, we're talking about the report. So give us a quick overview of the report because you guys analyzed, I'm looking at my notes here, 1.3 billion transactions between July 1st, 2019 and September 30th, 2019. So having said that, give us a quick overview here. What are we talking about?
Yeah, so we're in the business of helping companies stop fraud. And the way that we think through that lens is the lens of, okay, so why are these fraudsters doing this work in the first place? And it's always the same simple philosophy. They want to make amounts of money,
sure.
Right? They need that, and that's really it. They don't have specific targets that they want to go after because they hate that company. They just want to go after whoever has the largest opportunity for them to make the most amount of money. And they're the kind of companies that we work with. Some of the, you know, the biggest online businesses, ranging from travel through, you know, finance, banking, some of the challenger banks we work with. We're venture backed by PayPal.
Oh, wow.
We work very closely with PayPal themselves. We work with their top merchants, some of the big tech companies. Really, we run the gamut of different use cases in different industries. But It's primarily for us consumer-facing fraud. So it's areas like bad guys trying to break into accounts using all the data from the data breaches, creating fake accounts to then go and propagate things like fake reviews, payment fraud, gift card fraud, where they're kind of guessing and enumerating gift card combinations. In the travel industry, it ranges from like loyalty fraud through to competitive airlines actually launching attacks that reserve and hold seats. So real people can't buy.
Oh my god!
People buy from the competitor, and they do this in the hotel industry. They do this in the car rental industry. So if I'm a hotel across the street,
right?
And I know I'm in a hot area because there's a conference or something in town. But everyone's going to book from you because you've got cheaper rooms than me, or you have a higher rating than I do. Well, if I just go reserve a bunch of your rooms with bad credit cards, that will eventually bounce.
Yeah.
Those rooms are now held up, so you're going to go buy from me instead.
Oh,
so
these, my gosh.
This is the kind of stuff that we help stop.
Okay.
And the lens that we take is our job is just to make it cost more for you to make these attacks than the money you're making from doing it. And if we can do that, you're going to go somewhere else. You don't need to be, you know, the analogy I use as an Australian, and we've been taught this from birth, so that's how I'm still alive at my age, is, you know, if you're swimming in the water and you see a shark, you don't need to be the fastest swimmer to get away from the shark. You just need to be faster than the slowest swimmer.
Right.
And that's the philosophy that we take to solving abuse. And the fraud report really looks back the last quarter of the traffic and trends of what are the bad guys trying to do to make money. And how can we stop that?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really creative stuff in there. So it's, you know, it's something where it ranges from automated attacks with using scripts and bots, all the way through to hiring, you know, an army of people in Venezuela or the Ukraine to just manually log in, manually type reviews, and you have to deal with, you know, people that have like NASA level experience at writing software on some of these attacks because they're just building really advanced, some cases AI and machine learning that they're using to attack with.
Yeah.
All the way down to the most simplistic attacker who's making less than $1 an hour just manually doing something by hand.
Gosh.
We deal with both ends of that spectrum.
Okay.
Different attacks, different ROI, different returns. So it's really quite fascinating.
Yeah, because we were talking before the recording, you were saying, you know, the fraudsters is where, I don't want to say it's the fun stuff, but there's very creative individuals in this area that you really have
right.
to stay on top of, right?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is they've already got the data to get into your account. So they already have the front door, they're already in. They have to be really creative on thinking of how to get out because it's really easy to see if you can easily catch them if they do the obvious thing like log into an account, change your street address, and then ship an item to your house. It's like, well, they know that history addressed to theirs. They can mm-hmm. easily stop that transaction.
Right.
So what they do instead is they log in to your account, make a transaction to your address. It's shipped to your house.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got like a $600 guitar coming to your house. And what they'll do is they'll call UPS and fish UPS and say, this is the order transaction. This is the time of day. This is the address it was going to. I sent it to the wrong address. Can you reroute it to this address instead?
Oh,
and mid-route, UPS will redirect it to the fraudster. So they have to do really creative things.
Wow.
Otherwise, they'll get caught.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I just enjoy it. Like, I just enjoy the creativity aspects of how they're doing this stuff and what can we do creatively
right.
to make it costly so they don't do it.
And you almost have to be more creative than they are to do some of this stuff. So
it really is a battle of wits more than just a battle of skills in many ways. It's really fascinating.
So let's get to the report here, because some of the key findings here: attack levels in the finance industry increased 15%. Oh my gosh. And 1 in 3 attacks on financial services companies are human driven. So it's up 15%. My gosh, that's huge already.
We are starting to see, or to be honest, I think it's always been there, but it's just growing now at an unprecedented rate, which is kind of how it works. Is, you know, in the early days of businesses like eBay, where, you know, you have only a few sellers in the market, so it's, you know, you only attract a couple of buyers, right?
Sure.
But as you get more buyers in the market, more sellers come because there's more opportunity for them to sell. And
right.
then the market just really, really explodes,
mm-hmm.
right? It grows and grows and grows. And we're now seeing that happening in the fraud ecosystem. So it's not just an individual fraudster, it's the data breaches are happening more frequently because the capability to sell that data has become easier. So there's now a massive, and it's not even like dark web stuff, it's not like public internet, you can purchase and get access to stolen data breach
mm-hmm,
data.
Mm-hmm.
But as more data has been easy to sell, it encourages more people to invest in breaching and getting more data.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's more investment in the tools to do that, so there's more data breaches happening. And the price and the economics of it all is kind of rising because, well, there's now more opportunity to purchase data that I can make attacks with as online businesses are growing. And I think in the finance industry, we're seeing some really interesting things, like, you know, these neobanks or challenger banks or
yeah.
whatever you want to call them, that are really kind of appealing to demographics where traditional banks don't really look at them, like the millennial target market, kind of my age group, I suppose, where, you know, we don't like talking to people. We want to be able to do everything online. We don't like using physical cards. We want to use like Apple Pay. You know, we kind of like, and that is a very different target to attack as a fraudster
mm-hmm.
than the traditional method is. And things like data breaches and the traditional techniques that you would use to attack, like, you know, we protect some of the biggest video game merchants. Like, we protect Electronic Arts, for example.
Yeah.
And the kind of techniques you attack a video game merchant with, traditionally, you wouldn't think of the ways that you would attack a financial institution.
Yeah.
But actually, the patterns and techniques you use to attack an account in the gaming industry, in most cases, are about 6 months ahead of the curve when it comes to what abuse we see in the finance
wow.
space.
Wow.
We actually learn from the gaming industry, because gaming industry is fascinating because it's all real-time digital transactions. It's really the future of online commerce. It's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's playing catch-up. They wish everything was pure digital transactions,
yeah.
real-time. You don't have a chance to, like, say, look, I've got 3 days to refute this payment. You don't have that in online transactions that are digital goods. So fraud there is it's a much harder game to play. So we see just so much more advanced attacks there than we do in the finance space, but they do trickle down.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the challenger banks, I think, increasingly more vulnerable just because of that need to have.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah. Because those are super popular right now, like you said, especially with the younger generations. Because again, they don't want to pull out physical cards; they just want to do everything on this, or you know, that whole 9 yards.
And,
so
and
it's interesting; they're more vulnerable.
And if you aren't investing in the user experience, like if your user experience is worse as a challenger bank to a different challenger bank, your customers will move because
mm-hmm.
this demographic really cares considerably
yeah.
about, if I want access to something, I don't want to have barriers in front of me, like pulling out my phone to send a text message or whatever it is, right? Multi-factor, things like that, which are great for security. They're just not the optimal user experience. So these banks have to adapt and pivot to make sure they're balancing fraud versus user friction.
Yeah. One of your findings was 1 in 5 new account openings is fraud. So what is, because I remember when Apple Pay first came out, and they were saying, oh, this is super secure, but the fraudsters found a way around it by creating these fraudulent account openings. So I'm thinking, and then we found a way to kind of stop that type of stuff. But now it's, and in your most recent report, it said 1 in 5 new account openings is fraud. So what does that look like? What does that mean for a financial institution? What does that look like right now?
So I think, and as expected, as you know, fraudsters always take the path of least resistance.
Of course.
That path of least resistance has been changing because all the banks in the finance space have kind of played, you know, kind of caught up, right? They caught up with the traditional techniques. So now the tier of attacker that started with, you know, the big banks and kind of worked their way down, as the bigger banks got more secure, the next bank was the target, then the next bank was the target, then the next bank. And then suddenly they got to a point where banks after that were no longer really financially viable to make a business on. So they went back to the top of the train. Back to the top of the tree, but they had to have more sophistication to go after these guys again, okay, because the sophistication there was a lot higher in defense.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's now starting to trickle through again. And, you know, we're seeing like some really insane stuff. Like there's a new marketplace on the dark web called Genesis. And what Genesis is they sell device fingerprints that they collect through malware that you, like if you install an app from like, you're on an Android phone and you've installed something from the top 100 apps, you no doubt have had malware running on your phone that actually completely perfectly emulate you and run traffic through your phone. And actually what they do is they sell this real-time connection to your phone,
mm-hmm,
and your real-time device fingerprint. And this completely bypasses a lot of these checks and balances.
Oh,
that they're
my gosh. Using.
Because like it's just the level of sophistication has just grown and grown.
Mm-hmm.
And these account openings really come down to the fact that, you know, online identity has really become corrupt. Like fraudsters, because of financial incentive, like it's corrupt because of trust online personas really anymore, because the bad guys can sell anything they need for you to build a fake identity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really problematic in the age of, you know, these banks that are trying to offer loans to what would traditionally be considered a bit more of a risky demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that, of course, plays very well into the fraudster's hands, because they only need to look as good as your worst good customer. That's all they need to do, and then they win, right?
Gosh.
They don't need to look like your best customer. They just need to look close enough to your worst customer, and then you're not going to touch them.
My gosh. And so what? Right now, we're kind of in the middle of holiday shopping season. And even after the holiday's over, people are going crazy because all the sales and stuff. So what can, let's turn it to the consumer or the credit union member in this case. I mean, what can they do to protect themselves in today's online transaction, mobile transaction environment? And even working with their financial institution, what can they do to kind of protect themselves here?
Yeah, I think there's good and bad things on the protection side. A lot of it does come down to the financial really making sure that they play ball with fraud. They have to make sure they really need to think about it through the context of, how do I sustainably remove incentive of fraud?
Mm-hmm.
And really that comes down to, how do I just upset the cost economics? How do I make it more costly for the fraudster?
Right.
And things like having multi-factor enabled on your account and begrudgingly going through that process does increase the burden and cost to the fraudsters,
right?
Like enormously, right? Like these sort of controls that a little bit of frustration for the consumer,
mm-hmm,
really just completely remove that incentive for the criminals, because
okay,
it's really hard for them to scale how they make those attacks against those kind of techniques. But it's also important that, you know, if you're downloading things from app stores, don't do it on a phone that you're going to connect to your bank account with. That's actually a really hard ask, because everyone does that.
Sure.
But if you're on a device, iOS is actually traditionally a lot more secure than Android.
Mm-hmm.
But logging into your bank account on a phone where you've installed like the top cool 100 banner app that might have malware running in the background, it's not ideal.
Public Wi-Fi, that type of stuff too, and
public Wi-Fi it's not too bad, because apps are typically encrypted. They're using HTTPS connections and stuff like that, so a bit harder for them. Kind of man in the middle apps typically do a better job. The banks themselves obviously have to protect you in these contexts, but you can use VPNs and things like that.
Okay.
Typically, a regular consumer won't. So really, the burden falls back to the bank to make sure they're appropriately not trusting things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, in a lot of ways, security comes down to, does your, you know, credit union, does your finance provider really care about the security for their customers, and really picking and choosing and working with somebody that you know is going to protect you, right? Protect your data, so that you have trust in. If you're working with someone that's going to a reputation of breaches. Like, that's not, you should probably consider questioning, questioning your choices there.
Yeah, do your research for sure. Indeed. All right, what, last question for you, Kevin. I'm going to let you get back to work. 2020, what can we look, I don't want to say what can we look forward to in 2020 in this area, but what's on the horizon? What do we need to look out for in 2020 that you see?
So, so I can start with something that's far less smiles. I think, you know, we've seen, and this is kind of really fascinating, and this is why I just enjoy this industry. It's really moving the needle, I think, globally on many things, but I think that fraud's going to end up funding terrorism pretty strongly in 2020. Wow. So we have, we know for a fact countries like, you know, North Korea fund their business and what they do in nation state attacks through drug trade, right? Mm-hmm. But cybercrime is actually now much larger than the drug trade industry, and it's much easier to do.
Yeah.
And I know of several instances where like hundreds of millions of dollars have been like put through platforms just for the purpose of like laundering money. Like, we're seeing this now actively happening. There's a couple of big ones this year, like gift card. They were just flipping gift. They were just reselling gift cards. Seems very, very harmless.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Several hundred million dollars of gift cards they were reselling.
And oh, it was
basically to transfer money. So it was like money laundering through this thing. So we see that. And then, you know, there's things like, you know, the nation state stuff, the news population, you know, because of all of these other market factors, building a marketplace for fraud and all these tools and all this data, you can now, you know, break into people's accounts or make new accounts on social media, propagate news and media that's not accurate or fair. And, you know, you might have, you know, I can go and buy 100,000 likes or retweets pretty cheaply from a fraudster who's broken into other people's accounts or made their own accounts to propagate my media, right? So I can now shift public perception of topics pretty easily. And this all comes down to because there's a marketplace for it. At the end of the day, there's this massive value chain and all of these little different pieces. You can build some really creative attacks that you can shift the world's GDP if you're creative enough, I think. Maybe even become president.
Yeah, there you go. We'll find out next year for sure. Oh my gosh, Kevin. I mean, your job must be just a whirlwind every day.
It's really eye-opening, I think, to how easy it is to change things in the world when you understand and you break down the way of doing these kind of attacks to just the simple, like there's someone in the Ukraine making software for a couple of bucks an hour, and that software can be used to change public's perception of who should be president. Like, it's just, you don't think of it like that, but that's really what it is. And there's 100 people in between selling different services and products on top of that Ukraine couple of bucks an hour, but they package it all, they bundle it. And it's just, it's just fascinating.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And again, your job must be just, I mean, obviously it's something different every day and an adventure and all sorts of really cool. I mean, it could be a movie almost. So it's really exciting. Really exciting stuff. All right, Kevin, well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Oh, where can folks find out more details on the report to get some more numbers and details and stuff?
So we have the report on our website, arcoslabs.com.
Okay.
And we actually do it every quarter. So we're going to continue to do that
cool.
You know, as we're growing and expanding and learning and seeing all kinds of new creative things. The report's full of all these really interesting stories. And these different attack vectors that we see. Like, we see in the Ukraine, we can actually see when the fraudsters are going to launch because we see a dip in their traffic trends at 12 o'clock their time zone. All these fascinating things, right? So it's all in there. So if you're interested in learning more about this stuff. And the reason why we do this is because we want to inform people of what to kind of look for and how they can help better protect themselves.
And the more of this type of stuff, the more education we have, the better we can protect ourselves for sure. And you guys are right there helping out, so appreciate it. All right, Kevin, I'll let you get back to work because you have important stuff to do. So we appreciate it. All right, everybody, Kevin Goschalk from Arcos Labs. Appreciate the time, and let's do this. Let's do this every quarter. This is really fun.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks again, Kevin. Appreciate the time.